Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del challenges the status quo, questions everything, and empowers you to return to your core beliefs to make your life better. If you're ready to hear the truth and get your roadmap to the lifestyle you really want, the next hour will change your life. And now, your host, self-made millionaire, National Award-winning Investor of the Year, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. With me here today is Mr. Curtis Haynes, one of the multifamily mentors for Lifestyles Unlimited. Welcome to the show, Curtis.
Hey, Dale. Always happy to be here.
You know, I got a couple things I want to discuss with you today, Curtis. One of them is I'd like to come at this family office thing you talk about all the time. This is really your derivation. It's not one of my terms. You brought it up and have been going out there and spreading the word about it. Question that comes to me is, I guess really we got to do two things here today. Otherwise, I understand what it is. We need to let people know what it is. And then I want to talk about, where does it start? When do you start thinking about the family office concept as opposed to, hey, I just need to buy a piece of real estate and start making some money? So why don't you share with everybody what the family office concept is, first of all?
Sure, Dale. Yeah, that's something I'm very passionate about, and always try to share that story, the concept with folks. Let me share what it is first and then when you should implement it. So the basic idea is, you know, starts with the concept of return on your net worth. And that was a concept that you teach in the two-day that really drives the point home, how we just don't have a lot of passive income, but we pretty much we work the income that we get, we work hard for, W-2, and the concept of return on net worth kind of gives us a glimpse into, okay, wait a second now, instead of me working hard for my assets, let's have my assets work hard for me. And so when I met with a very high net worth family member, friend of the family, in his office, that was when the concept family office really struck home with me. And basically everybody in his office was there to work, to have that particular family's assets work hard for the family. And the idea of having a CFO, CEO, an entire business that's dedicated solely to enhance, improve a specific family's assets just blew my mind away, because really, we were kind of thinking about return on net worth from an individual concept, never thought of it as a business concept. And so from that point on, I just really dived into it and thinking to myself, okay, let's treat what we're doing as a business. We have a real estate business, but let's treat our family office, that's the coin, the specific terminology used in the financial services industry, let's treat what we're doing in real estate at a higher level and treat it as a business. And so the sole function and purpose as the CEO of the family office is really, bottom line, is to get your assets to work. And that's the sole function of the CEO of your family office. And, of course, we can't go and hire a whole bunch of people to do that. So we basically, I tell the folks that I meet with within Lifestyles in my mentoring role if it's a couple, I say one of you look at each other and claim, okay, you're going to be the CEO of your family office. And if it's an individual, and say, okay, now you're going to wear your hat. And you're going to be the CEO of the family office. And the idea from there, Adele, is to have folks make business decisions instead of making personal decisions, because we've grown up all our life being taught all these different things. And you give us some really good insight in some of those concepts that we need to kind of change our way of thinking. And a lot of times that's a very personal decision, like taking on more debt, or a personal decision like selling land that's been in the family for generations. And if we have them look at it from the family office concept as a CEO, as a business, then maybe it'll help them kind of break through those years and years and years of wrongful thinking, I guess, and have them maybe think in the right way to get their assets to work.
Now, this leads me all kinds of places, Curtis. So if I kind of meander around, I apologize. But the first one that comes to my mind is, in my mind, from the very reason that you just stated, that the ideas from the past are not generally the right ideas for the future. And so when you first state family office, I'm wondering, how many generations belong to a family office? Are you talking about just my wife and myself and my kids until my kids get older? Excuse me. Or are you talking about multi-generations being a part of the family office. And then after you answer that question, what about the multi-generations back that were wrong, that owned that piece of land that was worthless, that paid their home off in full, which made them no money, which invested in the stock market for 30 years? How do you, you know, how big is this family office? How many generations? And what do you do with the naysayers in the family that just won't listen?
This is a concept just in itself for me 10 years ago to not even be able to even grasp, like family office and return on net worth and getting my assets to work and all the stuff about getting, you know, that we're talking about today is just, it's a very high level conversation. And so for a lot of folks, it's just going to blow by them and they're not going to give it a lot of thought. And so I always like to take it down to the individual level and say, look, what you teach and what the main purpose of real estate is to give us options and give us freedom to do what we really want to do. Sometimes that is to continue to work. Sometimes that is to have spend more time with family. But it's to give us options. And so our focus has to be, in my opinion, just focusing on getting our assets to work within the family office. Now, what we're talking about specifically as a family office in the financial services industry, this is multi-generational kind of wealth. This is wealth that has been around for centuries, that has built up. And you can think of some of the very famous kind of names out there that have built up generational wealth over the years, over the centuries, to where they have a true single family office. And over time, this concept of family office has grown to where it brings in not necessarily the Rockefellers of the world, but it'll bring in some of family members that are not quite that kind of wealth, and what they'll refer to as a multi-family office, where they have several families that are coming under the umbrella of this one business operation. And so, you know, we can take that step further and say, look, really what we're talking about is the average Joe, you know, with my parents, they worked their tail off cutting hair. I don't know how they were able to afford getting three kids through college, and we've never had this kind of conversation before. And so it's more like I'm thinking as far as my next generation, like building up enough assets, building up enough income-producing assets that we can actually start thinking more of a higher level. And I want members who join Lifestyles to be thinking about their next generation, because quite honestly, most of the folks that join Lifestyles, although we have a lot of different varying levels, some with a lot of money and some with I would refer to as just the right amount of money, most of the folks that are joined are not second and third generation wealth families. So I just want them to start thinking about themselves and their future generations, whether it be their kids and their kids' kids, right? So that's ultimately where I want them to be at. And as CEO, they don't need the buy-in for their kids just yet. I think that's going to come over time with that dinner level conversations. I always kid around that the kind of conversations that happen in a quote unquote wealthier type of family, they're talking about investing, buying businesses, buying apartments, and it's just as a normal conversation that they have within their family. Whereas most folks, like myself, we've never had that kind of conversation before. It's like, hey, we're going to go to school, we're going to get a job, and we're going to work our way through the corporate ladder, and someday retire. And that's the kind of conversation that most of us have. So I just want to lay the framework and the foundation for folks to start having these conversations for their next generation.
You know, you bring this up, and when we come back, we'll talk about how do you plan your family's future and the family office.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
And back then, if you were a high school graduate, you would make more money than a non-high school graduate by X percent. And let's just make up a number. They might have said you might make $40,000 a year. But if you had just 1 year of college, you would probably make like $50,000 a year. Now, if you had a two-year degree, you'd probably make somewhere between $60,000 and $70,000. If you had a four-year college degree, you would make something like, you know, $70,000 to $100,000. And if you had a master's degree, you could make over $100,000, $100,000, $150,000. At a doctoral, you might make as much as $200,000. The reality now is kids coming out of college with these stupid degrees that they have. Now remember, people used to go to school and get degrees that mattered. Now kids are just going to school because parents are trying to get rid of them. They're trying to get them out of the house. And so they're sending kids that got bad grades to college. They're sending kids that are dumb as a rock to college. They're sending kids that are lazy as can be to college. They're sending kids. They're sending all these kinds of crazy kids to schools. And colleges are taking them because they need quotas. And yet they're coming out with enough debt to keep them strapped for the rest of their life. The college system is about to implode. We'll take a short break. Be right back with Curtis Ains and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
I don't know which one bums you out more, the little wheel, you get in the little wheel and run, or the cubicle. Go to your prison cubicle. Think about being in prison every day. What do? You get up every day and stand in your cubicle. Maybe sit in your cubicle. What do you do when you go to work every day? Go to the cubicle. Couldn't put up with it when I was there. Had to get out.
Ready to get out too? Learn how at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Curtis Haynes. And Curtis is sharing with us his basic mantra of the family office. And next question, Curtis, would be, how do you start this process? Where do you begin to get your arms around the fact that your money is not maximized in its return? How do you work with that?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Del. And I always refer to, like, let's really start with what you have. Let's look at your starting point. And the best document that that we recommend that you start with is your personal financial statement, in which you just simply list out all of your assets and all of your liabilities. And of course, when you subtract the two out, you get your net worth. And so as they start listing their assets, what we do from there, so ultimately number one is find out what you have to start with. Number two is start identifying what you refer to as the debt equity on our balance sheet. And these are things that are not producing any income. And the majority of us, including myself, when I first listed out my personal financial statement on the list of assets, all my assets were non-producing assets, right? So number one is list out your assets, get a good starting point. Number two is, all right, where's my debt equity? And a common debt equity is our home. So we'll have a home. We've been taught to not have any debt, pay off your mortgage, and we work for many, many years trying to do that. We finally do it. We feel good. We go to your class and we realize we shouldn't have paid off our loan, and you explain why, which is awesome. So one of the things that we recommend is to leverage some of this quote-unquote debt equity so that you can actually now invest into income-producing assets. So the more debt equity that you can find, the more you can convert to cash, the more you can get your assets starting to work. So once you've done that, then in the world of multifamily, which is lifestyles is all about, multifamily and single family, it's just now trying to find a place to work, right? Getting that money deployed and so that you can have income producing assets. And so, step three is just starting to deploy it. And what I try to remind people to do is make sure that when you're deploying your cash into an income producing asset to make sure it matches your goal on what you're trying to accomplish. And one of the phrases that really didn't sink in with me until maybe like 5 years into it is your phrase about you can't get rich slow. And that concept in itself made me realize how if I were to really pay attention to some of my assets that I have on my balance sheet that I finally converted to income producing assets, I realized that I held on to them too long. You know, so once you get income producing assets, the other strategy is, all right, now you got to start tracking your return on equity. And if you can cycle through that return on equity and redeploy into new investments, that's the part that that phrase really struck home with me, is you can't get rich slow. So don't buy something and sit on it for 5, 10, 15 years. Keep an eye on it. And once it hits to a certain level of low return on equity, redeploy. And that's what we do with an exit, whether we refinance or sell. And so that probably has been the most eye-opening thing for me, Dale, over the last 3 to 4 years, that I just wish I could really have people see, is the snowball effect of redeploying your assets and redeploying your assets and redeploying, how much that compounds on the income and your net worth and your growth. And it's just been, I don't know, it's been unbelievable. I feel so lucky and blessed to be able to be in that position to see so many different assets now having passive streams of income coming in. And my job is just to redeploy, just to keep on redeploying those into more income producing assets. And that snowball effect makes it where I can see it now being a full-time job to be a CEO of your family office, is because you're constantly looking at deals. You're constantly looking at opportunities ahead of time, so that when you start having cash build up, you can get it redeployed. And the better you are at that, that's that coin the phrase, you can't get rich slow, the faster you'll be able to accumulate real wealth.
You know, deploying capital seems like the easiest thing in the world. Everybody goes, my problem is I don't have any money. If I had money, I could make money. And that's really not what we find. Most of the people who come in, we find they do have access to capital somewhere. They just don't want to pull it out. They don't want to use it. They don't want to deploy it. Then when they start trying to deploy it for the first time, they find it difficult to deploy it because they've, trying to think of a term to use for this, they've built in a security blanket of scarcity. They believe that, you know, if I stick it out there, I may lose it, so I don't want to stick it out there. And it becomes very difficult for them to make that first investment and so on and so forth. And that really is the first challenge for people, to make that first one. We find after they had the first or second one, then it's like, it's all like running downhill at that point. It's really easy. But then you run into this second level where you see people really just change their whole point of view. And I want you to explain that, where you're at the point where you're playing with house money. Explain the house money concept, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started with, we'll just say, a dollar when I first joined Lifestyles. And over the last 9 years, I've been involved in 47 plus transactions. I've sold off 5 apartment complexes. And so I currently have about 42, I have ownership in 42 apartments that are generating streams of income for me. And I look at my balance, I look at my bank statement today, and I have 5 times the amount of cash that I have in my bank account than I did when I first started Lifestyles. So for me to have, fast forward through 9 years, to start with $1, have 42 apartment complexes, and have $5 in my bank account, tells me that I'm basically playing with house money. And I don't know when that actually happened, if it was 3 years ago or 4 years ago, but, you know, a lot of folks in the back of their mind say, well, you know, if I started back in 2009, it'd be easy. And first and foremost, I promise you, it wasn't easy to start back in 2009, as many people that experienced the collapse in 08. But really, the point I want to make, Dale, is the actual compounding, the snowballing that I'm talking about, that I'm just so excited about, really didn't start to really take place within the last maybe 4 years. 3 to 4 years, because that's when I really just focused on redeploying. Because it's so easy to just do what you do and enjoy what you do and not really focus on the family office concept. So that is when I tell my wife, we talk about our finances, we talk about where we are, and I tell her, look, we are cash poor. We are cash poor as a family, because every dime that comes in, we just redeploy. We live way below our means. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to do that, but I think some of the challenges, Dale, with a lot of folks coming in, is they're used to a certain lifestyle. And if they can just get rid of some of those expensive toys that they don't really need today and have that dedication to redeploy into income-producing assets, then they can start to enjoy the finer things of life down the road, once that snowball effect comes to play.
You can email your questions to AskDell@LUINC.com. That's AskDell@LUINC.com. If you've got a question for Curtis, we can get you in during the break. We'll be right back with Curtis Haynes and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
When you look at the effects of what happened in 2008 and you compare it to what we are hopefully coming out of right now, real estate has definitely shown its resiliency. It has provided for people not only a place to live, but a place to work, a place to raise their children, a place to teach their children, a place to prepare all of their meals.
And that's really where the rubber meets the road, is that there are two things that people have to have, and they strive very hard to have them, and that's a roof over their head and food on the table. And if you are investing in something related to either of those two things, you are going to have a winning strategy. And in addition to that, you're providing something of value to the people around you. And creating a win-win situation while creating wealth and passive income for yourself is the best life you can get.
Real estate is resilient. You should have real estate in your portfolio. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Curtis Haynes, one of the multifamily mentors for Lifestyles Unlimited. And Curtis, whether you realize it or not, has about 9,000 units. He's been doing this for about 9 years. He's done 46 different acquisitions, 15 different cash outs, just tremendous volume. All told, he's done 10,147 units, but he sold five of his properties off and has redeployed that income in other properties. Along with the 15 cash outs, he continues to redeploy. Curtis, you know, when I first developed Lifestyles Unlimited, I was really upset about and hated all the stupid concepts that they threw around out there by financial planners that didn't know what they were talking about. Concepts such as diversification, which we call diversification, and a concept called dollar cost averaging, which is you can buy when it's up and buy when it's down. Now, 27, 30 years later, I'm doing the same thing with real estate, not knowing it. Can you share with us how diversification across your portfolio and dollar cost averaging, the ability to continue to buy whenever, wherever the market's at, has helped your portfolio be stronger instead of weaker in most situations?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm sitting down with a financial planner and they were to allocate out my investments, he probably would not say I'm fully diversified. Because 99% of my family's net worth is tied into one specific asset class, which is apartments. So I'm probably not the best person to talk about diversifying. I'm just all in something I really, really believe in. But when you start drilling down to the details of what I'm investing in, I'm not investing all my money, and I think this is to your point, I'm not investing all my money into one apartment complex. I'm spreading it out over many apartment complexes in different locations and different asset ages and different classes. And so I think that part of within the apartment business itself, I'm diversifying quite a bit. And then as I've been buying over time, starting off back in 2009, I think I was in that 40,000 a door range. On the first couple, and I think I probably paid as high as 85 a door on the most recent one. So I've through the years you'd technically say I've dollar cost averaged on my buying of apartments per door, but I just really think that the way you teach us how to buy properties and you know, one of the things that you always say is we make our money when we close, the day that we close. We don't speculate. And I think that's probably, we mentioned earlier, the first thing that the fear that people have is they still think of this idea of apartments as the same thing as investing in stock, and it's speculating. And if you do it right, and if you have enough people that have done this roadmap for you, and they provide you with all the ins and outs of what to do, what not to do, what worked, what didn't work, if you do it right, I just, in my mind, whether I'm going to be at the end of the day right or wrong, in my mind, if I follow that roadmap and I buy a quality asset and a quality location, I feel like it's a no lose situation. You know, if I do my underwriting correctly, when I close, I've made money. And so I'm just very comfortable with going and buying many, many apartment complexes. Now, that being said, Dell, I won't diversify in other locations that I am not familiar with. And so probably one of the things that I really try to stay true to is the location, location, location part. And if I don't know the submarket very well, and I can have easy access to research, I may be willing to take a little bit of a chance. But for the most part, I really try to stay with the high quality location. And so I'll diversify in a lot of different locations, but they all are still within maybe a top 20%, in terms of the better places to live and work.
So Curtis, how do you keep making money as the prices keep going up? And this is a rhetorical question because I've been doing it for 30 years, but how do you do that? I mean, someone sitting out there right now goes, well, isn't the market high now? Isn't it time to stop buying, maybe sell everything? And, you know, how do you keep going?
Man, I'm glad you're bringing that up because I think that, you know, a lot of folks are hearing a lot of noise. And depending on what you're tuning into, you may think the sky is falling. You may think that we're at the end of our boom time and we're about to go through a recession. And that's something that I just tell folks, you know, look, just stop listening to all this negative noise out there and focus on buying real estate, because you don't have to time the market. Unlike the stock market, where you do have to time it, and you do have to be concerned about all these both political and national and local events that could potentially cause the stock to drop in half. In the world of real estate, you don't. So we're buying properties at any given point in time in the real estate cycle. We know how to underwrite it. We know where we are in the real estate cycle. We know how to pro forma the numbers so that we're not losing money when we close. And so for the listeners out there, as we make money, whether it's in a down market or an up market, the thing that gets me super excited about 2018, 19, and 20, and I'm guessing, I just had a conversation with another lead investor just the other day. He's predicting Q3 is when the market's really going to turn around for Houston. But I'm thinking, man, this is going to be an incredible 2 to 3 year ride. And it reminds me, Dell, of back in 2009 when you, in my opinion, were like a kid in a candy store telling and screaming at everybody, you need to buy, you need to buy, you need to buy. At a time when 99% of the folks out there were so scared, so fearful that they did not buy and that they did not listen to you. I was very fortunate to be one of the few that did listen to you, because you're the one that got me kickstarted and kicked my butt to get buying and stop making excuses. My point being, bringing that up, is it kind of reminds me of today. There's so many people out there just the opposite, saying, don't buy, be afraid, be scared. And I'm looking at it like, I kind of want to mimic you. I just want to start screaming at the top of my lungs, man, guys, now's the time to buy. Now's the time to, we're about to get into another 2 or 3 year cycle. But beyond that conversation, even if I'm wrong and we're going to correct next year, everything that I'm buying will still make money next year, whether there's a correction or not.
So let's recap the answers to the two questions I gave you. The first one was, what about the fact of diversification? And you're saying, I'm not diversified. But in essence, you really are, because you're diversified, you know, maybe not as much as you believe by location. You go for the quality locations, but you're in more than one location. You're diversified around the city from places that are all Class A places. Secondly, you're diversified by class of property. You're not all in Class A's and Class B's and Class C's. You're spread out. And number three, you're also diversified by operators. You didn't even bring that point up, that you're with many, many different operators where you've picked those people and diversified. You know, what if an operator dies and something happens? It's not going to blow the deal up completely. Somebody else will step in and fix it. But you diversified yourself because you get different qualities. Some people are very aggressive value players. Others are good yield play operators. So you have really diversified within those three areas of your real estate portfolio. The second part of the question is basically, how do you keep making money if the market keeps going up? Well, the reality is, people don't get it, is the market going up just makes the stuff we used to own more profitable. When the market stops going up, that doesn't make the stuff that we own less profitable. It doesn't make it worth less money because we're not trying to sell it. We're not out there flipping and wholesaling things. We're not timing things. We're not doing market timing. So it really doesn't matter. And every time we buy something, whether it's a little more expensive than when you started at $40,000 a door, you know, and then $50,000, 60, and 70, and 80 now a door, I'm looking at stuff in $130,000 a door. When you look at that stuff and you go, wow, man, this is just so much more expensive than whatever paid, you have to understand that's the way the world works. When I bought my first house, I bought it for $25,000. I bought over 100 houses until prices got to be about $40,000 a door. And at $40,000 a door, Curtis, I said, that's it. I'm out. That's too expensive. This is foolish. This is almost like government spending. I'm not going to do any more houses. And I started buying apartments at $10,000 a door. Now I look back and I go, $40,000 a door? Are you insane? The median's now $330,000. Yet at $40,000 a door, I thought the market was peaked, was over, was done, and I had to get out. That's where everybody's at, Curtis. They can't see that that $80,000 door you're buying is a steal when those doors all cost the $130,000 that I'm paying for doors to get into stuff right now. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back with Curtis Haynes and the Del Walmsley Radio Show.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Del will be right back with more life-changing principles in just a few minutes.
Del Walmsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. And in 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started at 87 go, you know what, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. Said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back. Now here's some more unconventional wisdom to set you free from the man on a mission to retire America, one person at a time, Del Walmsley.
Welcome back to Del Walmsley Radio Show. With me here today is Curtis Haynes, one of the multifamily mentors at Lifestyles Unlimited, the Expo. It's grown exponentially year after year after year. Just unbelievable. What were your takeaways on this?
Yeah, definitely wasn't. I thought this was probably the biggest Expo that I've attended since joining Lifestyles. There were so many people, and I certainly just absolutely loved the speakers that you had lined up. They were so different, to say the least. Marcus Mottrell, just his story and his background was just, you ever think you had a bad day, just think about his story and makes you think, you know, makes you really appreciate what you have and the gratitude that where you are. And then Dave Hardy, I thought his perspective on motivation, which I know you're not big on motivating people. I just thought his perspective of, fixing the computer operating system, fixing the operating system was very, very interesting. And that's the non-real estate side. We start going into, don't have time, but we go into all the different groups that we had, different classes we had on real estate, were just absolutely phenomenal. And of course, the big, the creme de la creme was the preferred investor meet and greet, where we just had thousands and thousands of like-minded individuals networking with each other and really getting to know each other. And that to me is just probably, there's just nothing else like it.
I had someone come up to me and make a statement that I thought was very interesting. He said, you know, this is the first time I've ever been to any of these events. And I have to tell you, I was quite skeptical. And I went up and spoke to everybody that had on, you know, I found out that the dark blue lanyard meant that they were, you know, a member, preferred member. And so I just wanted to find out. So I spent, the guy said he spent the whole 2 days there between the bus tour and the other day, just walking up to people and asking them, if you could just, you know, summarize this for me and tell me what you really think about this program, you know, what would you say? And it was really interesting. He said, you know, Dell, I can break down every answer into one of three answers. I said, really? He goes, yeah. Number one, lifestyles has changed my life. Utterly and completely changed my life for the better. It's unbelievable. Number two, lifestyles is changing my life. I'm seeing it happen right before my eyes. I know I'm going to get there. It's unbelievable. And number three, I haven't started to change yet, but I'm here because I know it's going to work because I've spoke to so many other people that said it already worked for them. Wow. That's quite a set of answers there, but it really does cross-section the people we have here. People are coming here because they believe. Why do you think people believe in lifestyle so much?
You know, you have thousands and thousands of success stories from folks from all walks of life, and there's so many folks that you get a chance to meet with, and you see them. They're real people, you know, real people, real results, another phrase you coined. Coin your phrase, and I just tell you, the more and more people that you meet and you hang out with, you realize, wow, if they can do it, I can do it. That relatability with everybody, I think, is a huge factor in why that so many people who just joined, why they believe that it's going to happen to them as well.
The last thing I want to cover is very difficult, and I don't really know how to tread this water. So I'm just going to stick my toe in. I don't think I'm going to jump fully in like I'd really like to. But, you know, Curtis, people come in all different walks of life. Some people come in, they're already successful like you. You had a business. You sold your business. You came with a healthy chunk of money to start with. Other people come in with just barely enough to get started. And yet, so many people end up wealthy. And to the extent that some of these lead investors, the amount of money that they're making, some of these passive investors, even the amount of money they're making, is just mind-boggling. You know, for someone to conceive out there that you could not get up and go to work and earn not $10,000 a month, not $50,000 a month, not even $100,000 a month, but tens of hundreds of thousands of dollars a month, is just hard for people to understand. How have you wrapped your arms around the income side of it? Because you're so frugal and you don't expand your cost of living. But I found that it got to the point where I was making so much money that I had to force myself to spend some on my friends, to give some of it away, to, you know, buy some new stuff, to always have new stuff and not use old, worn out stuff anymore. How do you overcome making all that money psychologically, Curtis?
Yeah, so my focus for me personally is just redeploy. So I'm not really thinking about that I'm there. I'm just redeploying. Like, I'm really focused on, I go and do a cash out refinance. I have X number of dollars. I go out and redeploy. I go out and do another. I'm about to sell one of my properties. It's going to be closing end of this month. I got that money. I'm going to redeploy. So I'm really not thinking about that. And it's really hard when I'm talking to folks that are not within lifestyles to be throwing out these kind of numbers that, I got to be careful. Like, when I'm hanging out with my wife's friends, that are not in the lifestyles, I just have to temper down our numbers, because What I don't want is our listeners to be like, oh, I'll never be able to make $100,000 a month, or I'll never be able to make $10,000 a month in passive income. It just all starts with the very first step. Now, that's what I really want to drive home for everybody is we've been taught one way of thinking all our life. And you have, Del, have opened the door of opportunity for us to really start looking at things in a whole different way. And if we can just get them to make one purchase, one single family rental, and actually see that there's an asset that's out there working hard for them instead of them having to work hard for their W-2 income, just that one concept in itself, I think then you can start duplicating that. You know, if I can do it once, I can do it 10 times. If I can do it 10 times, I can do it 100 times. If I can do it 100 times, I can do it 1,000 times. And that concept...
Well, Curtis, I appreciate you coming on. They're cutting us off now. For all of you out there, remember, myself, Curtis, and everybody else here, we're not doing it for the money. We're doing it for the lifestyle. A wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, teaching you the opposite of everything you've been taught, so you can obtain the results you've never obtained. Join us 7 days a week. Can't get enough? Visit DellOnTheRadio.com to listen to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, access past show podcasts, and join the conversation.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.